A little girl floats in an inner tube down the river that runs through her farm. She looks up and she suddenly thinks, I'm me. And there's a circle of trees around me. And around that is a circle of hills. And around that is a circle of the sky. If I float all the way down this river, I'll always stay right in the middle of the circle of trees and the circle of hills and the circle of the sky. A woman with a cancer diagnosis lies on a living room floor surrounded by seven friends, each of whom she has given a gift that she made herself. They sing, they weep, they speak deep words of faith and healing. The spirit builds and shines and swirls and fills them. As they finish, they sweep the energy through the woman's feet, and the little dog who has been lying there at her feet asleep goes, yip! A family of four lives out in the boondocks way southwest of town, far from the lights and the glare of the city. In 1997, the Hale-Bopp comet made its majestic appearance in the western sky on its way from who knows where, heading for who knows where. This secular humanist family, always with a full plate of chores and errands and church business and work-related projects, stopped a moment every evening that was in the sky, filled with awe at the hugeness, the mysteriousness of this flaming visitor. A man and a woman, one straight and one gay, meet each other through a cherished mutual friend at a social occasion. They blink at the connection when they shake hands and smile into each other's eyes. The relatedness is strengthened as they chat and reinforced in the farewell hug at the end of the evening. They get in touch. They go to a children's play and then they have a casual dinner. The talking flows impossibly easily, they had met 2 days before, and they both feel completely themselves, inspirited, centered, opened, laughing, filled with an unlikely affection. Prayer is as matter of fact as family life, as every day, as meeting in someone's home. It happens in this world, in this time, in these bodies. It is also as staggering as falling in love. For prayer connects us with that shimmering, boundless, unfathomable mystery that is the heart of everything. In prayer, we understand what infinitesimally small specks we are in the cosmos, and we are filled with humility and gratitude and joy for the miracle of existence. At the same time, it grounds us, bringing us closer to the strange truth that each of us is, at each moment, in the middle of a circle, that is in the middle of a circle, that is in the middle of a circle, and that these circles overlap with each other and are connected. Prayer can be a discipline, consciously and regularly practiced. Think of our Buddhist prayer song that we just sang. May we be filled with loving kindness. May we be whole. And it can spring upon us as a surprise, surrounding us with awakening light. It can be found everywhere. According to one author who wrote a book on the subject, he says it can take the shape of questioning, of wonder, of silence, of concentration, of relatedness, of perceptiveness, of grace, and of wisdom. And I would add, of love and laughter. It can be a part of almost any human activity, but it's always done with focus, whether we set out and intend to do it or that focus is sprung upon us by surprise. And our ordinary egos are somehow out of the way. Prayer is mindfulness, a knowing that rises above our usual anxieties about yesterday or tomorrow. To be prayerful, we must be awake to the world. One of my favorite prayers of all times, it's one I've memorized and often recite to myself, is by a Quaker, Douglas Deer. I found this just after I sobered up 30 years ago and have said it frequently all these years. Oh God, rouse my dispersed spirit from its stupefied torpor. Wake the sleeper in me and kindle such a fire in my heart that I shall never be content with anything short of thee. Relight in me the flame of a steady life of prayer. O God, keep open my mind, my heart, my soul. Keep open my mind, my heart, my soul. How moving I find that, still after all these decades. For I know that my openness is directly related to my prayerfulness, which is then directly related to my centeredness and my ability to move constructively, kindly, and creatively through the world. Openness leads me to the place that the humanist in our reading, the one that Bill read, reached when he says he prays because alone I am not enough and I am also too much. Prayer and ordinary life are part of the same reality when we are at our non-ego-centered best. Now, Unitarian Universalists can have problems with the concept of prayer. One of the problems is exemplified by the one that I like so much that I just read. Its author addresses something, and he calls it God. Now, many of us in our liberal, skeptical religion understandably reject that kind of praying because it looks simplistic. It looks like we're falling back on old supernatural isms. And we reject talking to some extraterrestrial being that can bestow upon us that which we are not strong or capable enough to find for ourselves. What if we shifted our thinking about what words represent in prayer? When my prayer life and I are working well together, which is to say when I am awake and my ego is a little bit less than sometimes, I then personally have a passionate, mystical, extremely intense relationship to the reality that informs all. Sometimes I use the nickname God, and more often I talk to Mary, which seems even more superstitious to some people. But to me, she represents the divine feminine after all these centuries of divine masculine. Other times, I just use words and concepts that are found in my limited imagination, knowing that they also are utterly inadequate to whatever it is. Jeanette Ross is a member of our congregation. And once she wrote 4 versions of the Lord's Prayer. Just a little aside about Jeanette. She is the leader of our humanist group and keeps, you know, those meetings going. She is also a very active member of Church Women United, which is a Christian women's group. And I just, that is so Unitarian Universalist. I love her that she does that. Anyway, in her 4 Lord's Prayers, they start in 4 different ways. One of the beginnings is Our Father. We're all pretty used to that. Another one, Our Mother. You know, that's kind of like what I do with Mary. The third one is Our Universal Chairperson. A lot of us might know that one. And the last one is Our Whoever. I don't know who I'm addressing. Isn't this silly? Who's out there? What's out there? Now, those seem, it seems to me, represent 4 perfectly human ways that a person could address the great mystery. We are limited only by our imagination. And what if we just shrugged at the occasional addressing of something outside ourselves, knowing that that's what human beings do sometimes when they're passionately trying to express themselves? I have a friend, Jim Wickman, who is a retired UU minister, and here's what he has to say about that subject. He says, remember the chase scenes in old movies? Wallace Beery or someone would be driving a beat-up car, running away from the bad guys. The road is full of ruts and washouts. The bad guys are gaining. What does he say? He says, come on, Betsy, or something like that to his car. He doesn't stop for existential analysis of the logic content of what he's saying. He talks to the car as though it's able to hear and comprehend and respond. He doesn't think he's being silly. He needs all the help he can get right then. And he says things out loud to make it real to him. When the bridge collapses just after he's crossed over, he and Betsy, taking the bad guys and their car down into the gorge and dumping them into the raging river, he pats the dashboard and says, thanks, old friend. He needs to acknowledge that the car was a part of his escape from disaster, and saying it is a way of making that acknowledgement real. That's the end of Jim's words. It would have been silly and egocentric for him to have said in the middle of this crisis, come on, self, high example of human nobility. You can do it by your superior driving skill and you don't need anything else. It's just not the way we act in those times. It's not a bad thing when we humans acknowledge that we are part of a greater reality. And perhaps we should forgive ourselves and others for using terms and phrases which only point at a little tiny piece of that reality. For that reality, which is incomprehensibly and staggeringly mysterious, is also a perfectly ordinary part of our lives. It's a part of us, and we are part of it, however we choose to imagine or name it. The Quakers, going back to them, have a particularly good grasp of the prayerfulness of the ordinary. Thomas Kelly is a Quaker writer whom I have loved madly for many, many years. And back in seminary, that's now over 25 years ago, I had been reading Thomas Kelly, who says, there is a way of ordering our mental life on more than one level at once. We may be thinking, discussing, meeting all the external demands of our outside affairs, but deep within, we may also be in prayer and adoration. Well, my longing to be one with the unity of all made me just ache to be like him. I just really wanted to be Thomas Kelly, but I wasn't. So I conceived a plan whereby I would check in with God on the hour. Now, it sounds unspiritual and actually even silly, but it kind of works. There are bells and watch beeps and deadlines which often happen on the hour. And so I would stop internally whenever I did remember and speak a few words of humility and gratitude to myself. And you can do it while you're talking to somebody else if you do it just real briefly, like just like, "Hi, God," or "Thank you," or something that acknowledges that larger peace. And I still try to do it, but I am still and will never be Thomas Kelly as much as I would like to be. But the practice holds in me the knowledge that whatever I'm doing, driving down Chinden Boulevard to work, kneeling in passionate prayer to the ultimate, communing with the fairies and the trees in the grove, that these are all parts of the same whole. There is no supernatural, because everything is one. Mindful awareness of any part brings us closer to the whole when I get my goal-oriented self out of the way. The little girl on her familiar river figured that out without analysis and without logic. The family who enjoyed the mystical moment with the comet have little time or inclination for devotional practices, but their wonder and their feelings of awe were prayer. The woman and the man, pierced by that robust, unlikely sense of loving connection, find prayer in their moments. And Mary Oliver tells us she doesn't know what prayer is, but we're pretty sure that she knows a lot more about it than we do. If we pay attention, breathing in and out in our intimately overlapping circles, we can feel the greater whole that prayer addresses. Our forefather, Ralph Waldo Emerson, who was writing in the middle of the 19th century, said this. Sorry, there's a logistical thing that I thought was going to happen that Ralph Waldo Emerson was going to be the cue for. But it turns out that didn't have to happen. So anyway, here's what Emerson said. "Let us then learn the revelation of all nature and all thought to our heart. This namely, that the highest dwells within us. Within us is the soul of the whole, the wise silence, the universal beauty, to which every part and particle is equally related, the eternal one." And one of our 21st century Unitarian reflectors on prayer is a little more accessible when he says, "Other living traditions have taught me that prayer is an honest expression of how we are in the very depths and doubts of our souls. Prayer is the admission that we are fragile, fallible, and finite. Prayer is giving up a way of creating a place in ourselves for mystery to dwell. Prayer is a covenant we make to be of service. Prayer is a way of living with the very questions that perplex us." It is my cherished hope that we may all come to that place where we know how fragile our life and loves are and feel the humility of humanness, and where we know, too, that the highest nobility dwells within and among us, where we feel the stupefying awe of being part of creation with comets and rivers and Jesus and grasshoppers and love. May our dispersed spirits be roused from their torpors, and may we, in our journeys, become healed and whole.